Lesson 10, A Lifestyle of Worship. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, you should 1. Recognize the relationship between corporate worship and a lifestyle of worship. 2. Understand that a lifestyle of worship changes a person's values. 3. Seek to live to the glory of God. 4. Be committed to the lifestyle of worship taught in Romans 12. 2. 5. State a biblically based theology of worship. Introduction. In the same year, an African nation appears on two lists: largest Christian population in Africa and most corrupt nation in Africa. The pastor of one of the largest churches in Asia is convicted of embezzling millions of dollars. The leader of an American megachurch resigns after confessing marital infidelity. What is wrong? There are many factors in these situations, but one thing is common to all of them. Sunday's worship doesn't affect Monday's life. Sunday is considered to be worship, emotion, and enthusiasm. Monday is considered to be real life, unethical business practices, and self-gratification. For too many people, worship activities do not result in a changed life. Activity: discuss how worship affects your daily life. How does your business operate differently because of your worship? How are your family relationships different because of your worship? Your morals, your politics, your financial practices. Are you living a lifestyle of worship? Worship. More than Sunday. The problem described in the introduction to this lesson is not new. Amos spoke to people who brought sacrifices and observed temple rituals, but failed to live godly lives. Amos 5:21-24. Jeremiah preached to people who cried out, "The temple, the temple," but who did not know the reality of God's presence. Jeremiah 7:4. Jesus described those who observed every detail of the law, who tithed on the smallest items, and who were faithful to prayer, Sabbath observance and other worship rituals, but whose hearts were impure. Matthew 23:23. These people professed to be worshippers, but their worship was false. True worship affects all of life. Paul wrote to believers who faced the issue of meat offered to idols. After addressing this problem, Paul concluded, "So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. While Paul was addressing the issue of meat offered to idols, the principle applies to all areas of life. If we truly worship, our daily lives will be lived to the glory of God. One definition of worship is the response of all that we are to all that God is. Source: Warren Wiersbe, Real Worship. Grand Rapids, Baker Books, 2000, page 21. This definition shows that worship will involve all aspects of life. There are two principles that must be held in balance when defining worship. Corporate worship, worship on Sunday. Corporate worship refers to the gathering of a church body. This meeting may occur in a church building, in a house, or in some other setting. The setting is not important, but a time set apart for corporate worship is important. Christians are given the privilege and responsibility to assemble for corporate worship. Hebrews 10:25. Worship as a lifestyle. Worship in all of life. In the Garden of Eden, if you had asked Adam and Eve, "When do you worship?" they would have responded, "We worship constantly. Our entire life is worship." This is worship as a lifestyle. Worship is both a corporate meeting of believers and a life lived for the glory of God. The second century bishop Irenaeus of Lyons said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." This is not man-centered humanism. It is a God-centered recognition that man's ultimate purpose is to live for the glory to God. This is true worship. As Christians, we give all aspects of our lives, even the ordinary details, to God. Worship isn't limited to Sunday. Our work, play, and common tasks are done to the glory of God. Romans 12:1 shows that worship involves offering our body as a living sacrifice. This is our spiritual service. A biblical view of worship cannot be limited to a weekly meeting. It is giving our entire lives to God. A biblical view of worship includes both corporate worship and daily life. Both aspects are important. If we forget that worship involves daily life, we can attend worship services without seeing any effect on the rest of our life. This leads us to participate in corporate worship, while failing to live in daily obedience to God. However, if we only emphasize worship is all of life, we forget the importance of a regular time set apart for focused worship. Participation in corporate worship reminds us of God's stewardship of life. This principle of stewardship is seen in tithing and Sabbath. Christian stewardship means that all our money belongs to God. Our belief in that principle is seen by our tithe. A Christian view of time means that all life belongs to God. We demonstrate that by devoting one day a week to worship and rest. In the same way, all aspects of our life are part of worship. We demonstrate that by assembling with fellow believers for corporate worship. Bob Coughlin showed the relationship between corporate worship and worship as a lifestyle. Sunday may be the high point of our week, but it's not the only point. During the week, we live lives of worship when we love our families, resist temptation, courageously speak up for oppressed people, stand against evil, and proclaim the gospel. In all these things, we are the worshipping church scattered, but we grow weary in our battle against the world, our flesh, and the devil, and need to be strengthened and encouraged by God's word and the care of other saints. We want to fellowship with those to whom God has joined us through his Son's blood. So we meet to become the worshipping church gathered. Source: Bob Coughlin, Worship Matters, Wheaton, Crossway Books, 2008, page 210. Worship, living to the glory of God. Worship shows our values. We were created for worship. All of us worship something or someone. We worship that which we value most. Worship says, "This is what has first place in my life." Many people worship money, jobs, status, relationships, or pleasure. Those things take first place in their life. How do you know what you worship? Look at your life. What gets the most energy, time, and money? That is what you have decided is most valuable to you. That is what you worship. Source: Adapted from Louis Giglio, The Air I Breathe, Worship as a Way of Life. Sisters, Oregon, Multnomah Publishers, 2003. Only God is worthy of worship. Everything else is secondary. A lifestyle of worship puts God first in everything. True worshippers have placed God on the throne of their life. He has the highest value. That means that for true worshippers, every part of life is lived to the glory of God. True worship changes our values. In Isaiah 6, we see that true worship is transforming. Worship not only shows our values, it also changes our values. Worship, either of God or of idols, changes who we are. Psalm 115:8 shows that worshipping idols changes us for evil. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Idol worshippers become like their idols. Those who worship money become increasingly greedy. Those who worship pleasure become increasingly enslaved to pleasure. Those who worship fame become increasingly self-centered. We become like whatever we worship. In the same way, those who worship God become increasingly like him. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. 2 Corinthians 3:18. In worship, we are transformed into his image. When we worship, our values are changed. As worshippers, we must ask, is worship transforming my life? Living to the glory of God involves all of life. Worship as a lifestyle means that all of life is lived to the glory of God. Many Christians divide their lives into two disconnected spheres: the sacred, Sunday, and the secular, Monday to Saturday. They live as Sunday Christians. They attend church and profess the Christian faith, but Sunday worship has no impact on Monday's business ethics, Wednesday's family life, or Saturday's entertainment. The word secular refers to life in this world. The Christian is called to live secular life to the glory of God. The Christian is called to live on Monday in a way that shows the impact of Sunday's worship. At the end of a worship service, we must ask, what will I do tomorrow to put today's worship into practice? This is life lived to the glory of God. What does living to the glory of God look like? Living to the glory of God means that all of life is controlled by a passion for God. It means to love God to the point that our delight is what pleases Him. One person said that to love someone means to be preoccupied with them. You are in love with the person or thing that you think about when you are not thinking about anything else. In the same way, Louis Giglio suggests that we know what is supreme in our souls by what comes out of our mouths. Source: Louis Giglio, Psalm 16, in Matt Redman and Friends, Inside Out Worship, Ventura Regal Books 2005, page 78. We talk about what is most valuable to us. That may seem overly simplistic, but consider, what does a person who loves money talk about? Money. They glorify money. What does a sports fanatic talk about? Sports. They glorify their favourite sports team. Does this mean that a Christian should talk about the Bible in every situation? No. It simply means that everything we talk about will glorify God. When we are making a business decision, we may not say to our colleagues, this decision must glorify God, but the glory of God will affect our decision. When we must discipline our child, we may not begin the conversation with, son, I want this spanking to glorify God, but we will ask ourselves, will this discipline please God or am I just relieving my anger? Is this how my Heavenly Father would discipline me? As Christians, we make every decision in the light of God's glory. Worship as a lifestyle means that God and His glory is at the center of everything we do. In an earlier lesson, we saw that apart from grace, corporate worship becomes legalistic, where we ask, how do we worship in a way that earns God's favor? In the same way, apart from grace, a lifestyle of worship becomes a legalistic burden, where we ask, what if this decision is not the best way to glorify God? If I mess it up, will God be angry? In contrast to legalistic worship, worship in the light of God's grace becomes a wonderful privilege. Corporate worship in the light of God's grace is an opportunity to celebrate who God is and what He has done. In the same way, a lifestyle of worship, when lived in the light of God's grace, is an opportunity to glorify God in everyday life. Monday's business decision is not a joyless effort to obey God's law. It is a joyful opportunity to glorify God with ethics that are consistent with His character. The discipline of a child is not a joyless effort to avoid displeasing God. It is a joyful opportunity to model God's loving character to your child. Grace transforms a lifestyle of worship. A lifestyle of worship, a biblical model. In Romans 12, 1, the Christian is called to present himself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is our spiritual worship. Romans 12, 2 shows how this sacrifice will be offered. This text is particularly important for understanding worship as a lifestyle. After 11 chapters, in which Paul lays the theological foundation for the Christian life, he moves to application. Since we have been justified by grace, Romans 1-11, we are to live in a certain way, Romans 12-16. These chapters provide a model for a lifestyle of worship. The negative aspect of a lifestyle of worship. Paul begins with a negative command, do not be conformed to this world. We must not live in conformity to this world. We cannot surrender to both this world and the heavenly kingdom. We cannot worship both God and the spirit of this age. J.B. Phillips translated Paul's instruction, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. When clay is put into a mold, it soon sets in the shape of the mold. The world wants to squeeze Christians into its shape. The world wants to force us to adapt to its demands. Instead, we are to live a lifestyle of worship, to reject the influence of this world. This temptation is particularly dangerous because we can adapt without even becoming aware of the mold. The fish living in water does not think, "This is water." It is simply the world in which he lives. The worm crawling through the dirt does not think, "This is dirt." It is simply the world in which he lives. If we are not careful, the Christian living in a fallen world will not think, "This is a fallen world." It will simply be the world in which we live. This is why corporate worship is important. The writer of Hebrews warned that we must not neglect meeting together. Why? Because this is how we fulfill this other commands. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Hebrews 10:23. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. In worship, we are reminded that we are not of this world. In Babylon, separated from the temple, unable to participate in the corporate worship of his people, Daniel prayed 3 times a day, with his windows open toward Jerusalem. Daniel 6:10. Worship strengthened Daniel against being conformed to the world of Babylon. As he faced Jerusalem, Daniel was reminded, "I am not a citizen of Babylon. I am a citizen of Jerusalem. I do not worship Marduk. I serve Jehovah." Note, paraphrased from Tim Keep, Bible Methodist Missions, Chapel Sermon at Hobe Sound Bible College, November 2013. A lifestyle of worship means that we refuse to be squeezed into the mold of our world. This is more than resisting a set of temptations. It is more than observing a set of rules. It is more than a particular style of dress, code of behavior, or religious culture. It is an entire way of thinking and living. It means evaluating everything in terms of God's kingdom. As Christians, we will never fit comfortably into the surrounding culture. After a class in China on the Sermon on the Mount, a student said, "In China, it is difficult to live like Jesus taught." The teacher responded, "Don't be surprised, in America, it is also difficult to live like Jesus taught." Whatever the culture, a lifestyle of worship will conflict with the spirit of this world. The positive aspect of a lifestyle of worship, following the negative command, Romans 12 continues with positive instruction, "But be transformed by the renewal of your mind." The opposite of conformity to this world is not merely being different or asserting your own personality. The opposite of conformity to this world is being transformed until you know the will of God. Some Christians have conformed to a lifestyle different from their culture, but they have not been transformed to the will of God. Instead, they have substituted a particular political view, social view, or dress code for the culture of this world. They have not been transformed by the renewing of their mind. J.B. Phillips translated, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold," the negative, "but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed," the positive. The rest of the book of Romans shows how a transformed mind will look. Romans 12. A transformed believer uses his spiritual gifts to serve others. Romans 13. A transformed believer respects civil authority. Romans 14. A transformed believer respects the convictions of fellow believers. A lifestyle of worship is more than behavior. Worship transforms our entire way of thinking. Consider the impact of a lifestyle of worship. What will the continent of Africa look like if Christian businessmen and politicians are transformed in their attitudes toward money and power? What will Asian churches look like if leaders see themselves as stewards of God's money? What will marriage in America look like if Christians see infidelity through God's eyes, rather than through the eyes of Hollywood? A lifestyle of worship transforms the believer's mind. A transformed mind will be seen in a transformed life. Transformed lives will transform society. A lifestyle of worship will ultimately transform our world. Worship dangers. Worship without obedience. The prophets warned against worship without obedience. The people of Jeremiah's day believed that the temple would protect them from Babylon. Jeremiah responded, "Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." Jeremiah 7:4. Instead, "If you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Jeremiah 7:5-7. The people of Israel believed they could substitute ritual for obedience. The prophets preached that ritual without obedience is meaningless. In some traditions, obedience is replaced with liturgical ritual. The elements of worship are present. The songs speak truth. Scripture is read and preached. Prayers are prayed. However, there is no obedience to the word of God. Lives are not changed. This is ritual, not worship. In some traditions, obedience is replaced with emotional response. The goal of the service is to generate certain feelings. The music stirs the emotions. The sermon leads to an invitation or time of commitment. However, the service is not followed by a life of obedience and surrender to God. This is emotion, not worship. Worship in the temple celebrated Israel's covenant with God and reminded Israel of her covenant responsibilities. In the early church, worship celebrated the new covenant provided through Jesus' death and reminded Christians of their responsibility to holy lives. Worship that does not result in obedience is false. True worship transforms the worshipper. Throughout this course, we have seen that people who truly worship are changed. The goal of this course is not simply that you will be better at planning and leading worship services, but that you will be a worshipper who is transformed by worship. Then you will lead your church in worship that transforms each member of the congregation. Conclusion. Testimony of a pastor. What is the impact of true worship? Listen to the pastor of a Spanish church. In 1991, the spiritual climate of our church was at its lowest point. Immorality had trapped some of our members. When we disciplined the fallen members, the church became divided. Finally, at a spiritual and emotional breaking point, a new convert suggested that we fast and pray all day on a Sunday. We did this, and God began to move among us. A few weeks later, we began our annual camp. Some division in the church remained. As the evangelist began his sermon on Wednesday night, he felt that God asked him to sing, "How Great Thou Art." As he sang this great hymn, the glory of God descended upon a hungry crowd. Some responded with praise. Others began to seek God at the altar. A lady who had been at the root of the conflict in the church burst into tears. Standing before 400 people, she confessed, "I am a most unhappy woman because I have sinned against God and his church by harboring unforgiveness in my heart. I ask the Lord to forgive me, and I beg you as a church to forgive me." As those words fell from her lips, others were reconciled. That evening, God restored unity in our church. As God's people humbled themselves in prayer and fasting, and as God's servant was obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we were brought into God's presence. Sin was confessed, unity was restored. This is the result of true worship. Source: Testimony of Reverend Sidney Grant, Hope International Missions. Lesson 10 in review. 1. Corporate worship occurs on Sunday. A lifestyle of worship occurs in everyday life. Both are important for a biblical view of worship. 2. True worship shows what we truly value. 3. True worship changes what we value. 4. A lifestyle of worship means living to the glory of God. This means that God will be the center of all of life. 5. A biblical model for a lifestyle of worship is seen in Romans 12:2. It includes a negative aspect: do not be conformed to this world. A positive aspect: be transformed by the renewal of your mind.